Congress continues to debate legislation that would limit immigration across the southern border. Now, a new book envisions a very different change to immigration law. In Welcome the Wretched, immigration lawyer and Ohio State University professor Cesar Huatemoc Garcia Hernandez argues that immigration policy should be separate from the criminal justice system, that criminal offences should not automatically lead to deportation, and crossing the border without permission should not in itself be considered a crime. As he writes, those policies run contrary to the history of immigration in the country. The book Welcome the Wretched is out today, and joining me now is author Cesar Huatemoc Garcia Hernandez. Cesar, welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here.
What you're writing about in your book is really a history of how we came to this place where the criminal justice system and the immigration law system intermingle so much. You write that contrary to the refrain that Democrats and Republicans can't agree on immigration policies, that in fact, both parties, and I'm quoting you here, have wielded the criminal legal system as a weapon against immigrants. Tell me more.
Whether it's Republicans like Donald Trump or Democrats like Barack Obama or Joe Biden, we see time and again whoever occupies the White House embrace this idea that a run-in with the criminal legal system is one run-in too many and a useful marker of undesirability, of unfitness for life in the United States, when in reality, of course, there is crime all around us and nothing to do with citizenship and everything to do with the fact that people mess up. As somebody who has spent most of his adult life working in college campuses, I'm well aware of the fact that there is crime happening in college dorm rooms on a daily basis. And it's not always low-level offenses. Sometimes it's violence. Sometimes it's sexual assaults and hard use of drugs. And the reality is there's very few instances in which the police are barging into dorm rooms and breaking down doors to arrest criminal undergraduates. And that's all because of the fact that the activity is happening in protected privileged spaces. It's no less criminal, but some people are being arrested and prosecuted and convicted. And if you're not a U.S. citizen, potentially deported for it.
And, you know, I think it's especially in today's climate, it's a hard argument to make that if a non-citizen commits a crime, that they shouldn't be deported. But what I appreciate about how you're making this is you're giving us some history. You trace many of the early ways the legal system was used to criminalize immigrants and keep certain people out. You know, some of them I feel like we know, like the Chinese Exclusion Act, but there are many others. And you point out so many immigrants would break these laws, but race was a determining factor in who would be punished. I wonder if you can briefly tell us the story of James J. Davis, who immigrated as an 8-year-old boy and would go on to be the Secretary of Labor.
He comes to the United States impoverished, comes with his mom. His dad's already here. He's coming with his younger siblings. And then he goes on to attain a good amount of political power later in life. And he turns back and he says, look, the world is divided into what he says, the rat people and the beaver people. And the beaver people are those migrants from Northern and Western Europe, like him and his family. And those rat people are those Southern and Eastern Europeans, those Asians who are trying, hoping to come to the United States. And he does what's familiar. We turn around and see that the folks who are coming after us are worse than us. They're different from us. And that's a phenomenon that happens all over U.S. history.
Yet there is a law that you point out, that in 1865, a law criminalizing poor immigrants that would have applied to his family, but no one chased them down for it.
Yeah, there were state laws at the time. His father ends up in Ohio, and Ohio actually had a law that said, look, if you were coming here and you were too poor to sustain yourself, we could essentially deport you. We could force you to go back to whatever state you came from. And his father is out of work. He went to Ohio because that's where his brother lived, and the family comes, and they don't have any money, and yet no one enforced that law. Had James come just a few months later, there would have been a federal law that applied that would have kept away people just like his mother and him and his siblings, and yet he insists that his family are those beavers that make America great.
You also devote space to a South Carolinian politician, Coleman Livingston Bleese. He was a white supremacist whose impact on immigration laws and criminalization is still felt deeply today, as he was the man behind making entry without papers a federal crime punishable with prison time. Tell us about Blease and what you call legislating racism in the 1920s.
This was a man who embraced lynching, who embraced attacks on migrants from wherever they were coming from. And when he gets to the United States Senate, he joins forces with other members of Congress who are also opposed to migrants from Southern and Eastern Europe and Asia and Mexico, because at that point, Congress had not been able to muster the political resources necessary to push through a law that would limit Mexican migration. And so Cole Blease ends up being the person who introduces and pushes forward the law that eventually, in 1929, is the first time that we actually criminalize coming to the United States without the government's permission. And that law is still on the books almost a century later.
And how would you answer to people, Cesar, who say, but you shouldn't be able to come to the US without papers? There should be some kind of punishment, or there should be a law that stops that.
I'd say why? Why should there be? Because for most of the early part of the history of the United States, there were no laws that did so. And when Congress started to enact those laws, people left and right started to violate those laws, whether it's folks who are like James Davis, who entering Ohio and making a life there in violation of, or simply because no one bothered to enforce a state law, whether it's folk like my wife's grandmother, whose family came from Italy in the early part of the 20th century, and who did so almost certainly in violation of immigration laws that existed then. And you know what? I'm glad that they did, because that's the reason why I met my wife here in the United States. And that's the story that resonates throughout families in every corner of this country.
And one of the things that you point out is that, you know, punishment or immigration law actually being applied is quite unfair. You use Justin Bieber and 21 Savage, two big-time famous musicians, to tell a story about racism and immigration justice.
Justin Bieber is somebody who's well known for driving quickly, fast through cities, for engaging in all kinds of well-publicized run-ins with the law, less so now as he's matured. 21 Savage was picked up by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, detained and put into deportation proceedings. Both of them are citizens of other countries. Justin Bieber, Canada, 21 Savage, the UK. But one of them, Justin Bieber, is white, and one of them, 21 Savage, is not. And yet, we don't see ICE going after Justin Bieber under the blaring sounds and neon lights of his performances. They know exactly where to find them, just like they knew exactly where to find 21 Savage. They did go after 21 Savage. Unfortunately, he was able to find a great lawyer who was able to get him out of prison and actually win that deportation case not too long ago.
And we should point out that 21 Savage doesn't have a criminal conviction on his record. But it's not just Justin Bieber. Tell us what the data shows about Canadians, because I found it very interesting that Canadian citizens are likely bigger breakers of one immigration rule than most any other nationalities, and that is visa overstay.
You can violate immigration law in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways that politicians like to focus on is the folks who come into the United States without the government's permission. But another way of violating immigration law is coming here with the government's permission for a short period of time. Maybe that's vacation, maybe that's a study, but then you're supposed to leave. And we see that every single year, the government's own statistics tell us that tens of thousands of Canadians do not leave when they are supposed to leave. And that means they are violating immigration law, but we don't see immigration officials going out and arresting and detaining and trying to deport Canadians. Instead, we see all those immigration law enforcement resources focused on the southern border, trying to keep out the Latin Americans and the Africans and the folks from the Caribbean who are trying to come to the United States, sometimes also in violation of immigration law, but violation of immigration law that has exactly the same consequences as the way that the Canadians do it.
So, Cesar, you end with a call for us to reimagine citizenship. Tell me what a new kind of relationship with immigrants looks like to you, especially in this time when immigrants are the least likely to receive empathy as the tough on immigrant policies ratchet up.
for most of the history of the United States, we had the criminal law system that dealt with people who might have committed a crime. And then separately, we had immigration rules. And those two very rarely met. That was true up until just the last few decades. And so what I'm asking members of Congress, for all of the folks who are engaged with politics and law in the United States, is to, you know, think about whether we can, again, divorce those two so that we can just allow folks to be the imperfect human beings that they are, because the reality is we all mess up. We all have our worst moments. And right now, immigration law ties migrants to their worst moments, but they're more than those moments. They're also parents and workers and community leaders, and that has nothing to do with their citizenship and everything to do with their humanity.
Cesar Cuauhtemoc Garcia Hernandez's book is Welcome the Wretched, in defense of the criminal alien. Cesar, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure, Deepa.